Next on BYUSN, hey, what are the chances BYU men's basketball beats West Virginia to win a sixth straight game tomorrow? And why stop there? What are the chances the Cougars win out? The first football win total projections are out in the Big 12 Conference. Why is BYU's projected win total so shocking? We'll show it to you. Do you agree?
Oh, by the way, BYU football held a spring practice yesterday, number one of the spring practice season. We'll react to the best sound and overreact to the best plays from day one. And Eliza Millar-Crossman and Heidi Schooley-Myers of BYU Gymnastics preview tonight's senior night meet against Arizona State.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, February 28th, final day of February. This is how we do it. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is also known as the BYUSN TMZ insider, Jason Shepherd. Jason, what's the latest tea?
Well, the... You are so hip. You are so proud of yourself.
And in by that he means you are so not hip, and you're an idiot.
Okay, I had no idea what that meant. Literally, like 2 weeks ago.
So spill the tea.
Yeah. So apparently, we may see one of those crossover athletes. You know how dual sport athlete maybe from basketball to. Possibly football.
Who is this you talk about, TMZ insider?
How about basketball defensive specialist Trey Stewart?
Wow.
Trey Stewart was talking about the fact that he says, I love football. Some of those football dudes are different.
Yep.
I might have to try it. I've watched games and said, I really want to stay in front of those receivers. Well, it's one thing for Trey to say that he'd like to do it, but then when the defensive coordinator of your BYU football team says, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Whole new level. Jay Hill, apparently on board with it.
Wow, that's a great report, Shep.
Thank you.
You're worth everything we pay you.
How was that tea?
I don't know how to answer that question.
I don't know.
Like when someone spills the tea, do you say, oh, that's delicious? I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't drink tea.
What's the follow-up to that? Hey, wouldn't it be something to see an athlete like Trey Stewart? Just give it a go. We saw former BYU Cougar and Caleb Lohner do his thing, and he's still doing it at the University of Utah.
The Cafusis?
Why not? The Cafusis.
We've seen it happen with the Cafusis.
Yes. We're thinking big on a Friday. We're also thinking big as we rise and shout and get into what's trending.
You're not getting to a 4 or 5 seed. You'd almost have to win out. How do you get to 4 or 5? Well, you beat Arizona. You beat Kansas. You win at Iowa State. That now changes the complete narrative of where you're at.
Beat West Virginia. Take care of business at home, and the win streak extends to 6. Country roads take me home to a 6th straight win, won't you? BYU has their chance to do that tomorrow night.
You're
against
not gonna sing
the Mountaineers.
It? You sung the Love Boat the other day.
Jason, and we learned a hard lesson in that.
Right,
we learned a very hard lesson.
That is fair. It's a fair point.
I'll leave that one to John Denver, okay?
Right.
Okay, I don't know the name of the guy who sang the Love Boat song. So I'm sorry I disparaged whoever that was, but I'm not about to disparage John Denver. The Mountaineers and Cougars tomorrow night. We're going to play a game of what's the chance? What's the chance, Jason, BYU makes it 6 straight wins already, an all-time high for BYU in Big 12 Conference play at 5, but what's the chance they get to 6 and hold serve on their home court against West Virginia?
I think it's very, very high. In fact, I think it's likely. In fact, I am assuming that they get the win.
Are you going to guarantee it?
I am not going to guarantee anything. As we've learned, guarantees do nobody any good. But yeah, I mean, look, if we're going to put a percentage on it, I want 85-90%.
Nice. Okay.
Look, this team is playing such good basketball right now. And I understand the idea that when BYU went to Morgantown, you know, West Virginia thought they had that one, and then BYU comes back late, gets the win. That's just a massive win. And so they're going to be looking for a little revenge, obviously.
Sure.
But BYU's playing so well right now, and you're at home. I just feel very confident that win streak pushes itself to 6.
All right, let's take a look inside the numbers, shall we? We just showed you the overall records. West Virginia's a good team. They're 17-11. BYU already has 20 wins. Wow, okay. But let's take an even deeper dive than just that win-loss mark and what they're doing in conference. This team that West Virginia brings in is unique in that it matches up well against some of the incredible offensive numbers that BYU has put together. So, namely, BYU 12th in offensive efficiency, according to Ken Pomeroy, in the country. West Virginia, Jason, 14th in defensive efficiency. Kind of a wash, if you will. BYU 4th in effective field goal percentage. If you haven't noticed, they're really, really, really good on offense and typically score. West Virginia 15th in effective field goal percentage defense. Then you look at the three-point shot. BYU has been taking and making a ton of threes. They average almost 11 three-point makes per game. That is
insane.
A crazy number. Number one in the Big 12, not surprisingly. They take a lot of shots. 31st in three-point field goal percentage. Still really good. Top 10 percentile, if you will, among all of Division I college basketball. West Virginia tends to defend the three-point shot, at least percentage-wise, very well. 7th in three-point field goal percentage defense. So why am I giving you all these numbers? Because I'm just going to throw them all out, Jason. I'm going to throw them all out, and I'm going to point to home court for BYU. You want to know why I'm so confident and why I believe that the chance is so good for BYU? Because they're home. They've won five straight. The Marriott Center is going to be another sellout. Toughest ticket in town right now. I looked yesterday. Cheapest lower bowl seat, and there were only like six available that I could see, and they were all single seats, were $200 plus. People want to see the Cougars. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere tomorrow night. So even though the revenge factor is in play for Javon Small and the Mountaineers, too much home court advantage, too much momentum for BYU. I'm 81%, and I say 81 just because that was the year that Kevin Young was born in, and that was the year that I was born in. So 81% chance BYU wins this game on their home floor.
I want to go back to some of the numbers that you put out there. I love matchups like this when it's strength versus strength. We know what you do best, but guess what? What you do best, we do best to counteract.
Yes.
I love those matchups.
Fascinating.
It really is fascinating to see how these games play out and which side is able to push their will on the other. Because, you know, a lot of times these teams, whether it's BYU right now, not used to having, you know, small offensive numbers. And for the West Virginia defense, not used to giving up big numbers. And so these matchups are so much fun to be able to watch and to be a part of. I just, look, I'm with you. The home court advantage aspect of this is gigantic. But even more than that, I still fall back on just what this team is doing right now. They have gotten into a groove, and I'm not just talking about the way that they're shooting the ball, the way they're scoring. They have gotten into a groove in finding the right matchups,
yes,
the substitution patterns. They're playing with a level of confidence right now on just so many different levels that I'm just not going to count. I'm not going to count them out for anything.
Stack days. BYU has been doing such. And I will give you some home court advantage numbers, going back to our good friend Ken Pomeroy once again. West Virginia, by the way, still the toughest team on their home floor in the entire country, according to that specific metric. It's an HCA, or home court advantage, of 4.6 for West Virginia. They are number one. BYU, remind me, Jason, did they start this five-game win streak in Morgantown?
I believe they did.
Yes, they did. So now BYU gets the Mountaineers on their home floor, and BYU has the ninth toughest home court advantage in the entire country at 3.9. Not a shocker. BYU really difficult to beat at home. Just ask Kansas about it and a few others like Baylor. West Virginia's going to play hard. They're going to be really sound defensively. But I just think BYU has too much offense and too much momentum and too much backing when they're playing in the Marriott Center. It is the most distinguishable home court advantage of any sport in the entire country at the collegiate level in basketball.
Yeah.
I know football home field matters. It's not like basketball. It is not like basketball. Do you disagree? Is there another sport where you can pinpoint how much more difficult it is to play when you're on the road?
Well, you're talking about an inside environment. You're talking about more people closer to you.
Yes.
The environment is just way more in your face and on top of you than you get with football.
All right.
All right, let's move on to another what's the chance.
Okay.
What's the chance BYU wins out the final three games of the regular season? And let's remind everybody what the schedule is. West Virginia at home. Then you're at number 9, Iowa State. And then you wrap things up senior night right here in Provo against Utah.
I know that the probability experts are like, hey, Spencer, show us what kind of real math you can do right now. You know what? I'm not reading into probabilities. I'm leaning more heavily on momentum and the eye test that BYU has put forward and the three teams that remain on the schedule and where those games take place. I feel very confident that BYU will not lose on their home floor against West Virginia and Utah. I would give BYU an 80% chance to win both those games. 75-80% chance to win both of those home games. It's going to come down to, not shockingly, a road game at Iowa State. And what is Iowa State by the time BYU gets to Ames? Do they have Curtis Jones back? Do they have all of their scoring options back and healthy and ready to roll? Who knows? So if Iowa State is playing with their full arsenal, then that becomes an even tougher game. It's already going to be tough, even if they're not at full strength.
Yeah.
I'd say if they're not at full strength, BYU wins that game 3 out of 10 times, 2 out of 10 times, like 20 to 30%. If they are full strength, I'm telling you, Iowa State is a monster on the road, just like BYU is at home, 15 to 20%. So that one's tough. Overall, I say 15% chance BYU runs the table because of all of the different probability factors in there and how weird the ball bounces sometimes. Sometimes shots don't fall. But I don't think those are terrible odds.
Yeah.
If I said 20% they win the final three games, knowing you still have to play at Ames, is that too low? Am I not thinking positively enough?
Okay. So let's compare to what I was going to go with.
Okay.
I was going to go with 40%.
40?
Yeah.
So explain to me why you are so confident BYU can win in Ames.
Yeah, because that's the only one that's in question here.
Okay.
Because I am going in with this, that worst case scenario, BYU's 2-1 over these last three games. Because I'm with you. You've got these two games at home. I believe you're going to win both of those games. Oklahoma State, obviously, coming off the shocking loss to Oklahoma State. So if this were the next game immediately, you know that team is going to be super, super motivated because you're coming off that loss and you want to follow it up and get things right real quick.
100%.
But now you've got Iowa State, got number 22 Arizona in Ames. That game will be played tomorrow. Depending on how that game goes.
Factors into how you feel.
It does factor. But most of why I'm as high as 40% is I'm not willing to take off a road win at the number 9 team, I'm not willing to take that off the table significantly with how well BYU's playing right now.
Because they just won at Arizona.
And look at some of the teams, look at the places that they have won. They've won in Morgantown. They've now won in Tucson. I'm just not willing to say it's not possible.
Sure.
Or that it's maybe not a higher probability than in most years we would give it. That's more a play on how well BYU is playing right now than maybe anything else. So again, the most likely scenario is BYU goes 2-1. But I would say 40% chance that they can go into Ames, depending on what happens. Because if Iowa State beats Arizona, it sort of takes the sting off from Oklahoma State. And you said, depending on what their personnel looks like, maybe BYU can go in there. Now, if they're riding a two-game losing streak, that's a little bit.
Then they become the wounded animal.
Then they become desperate. So we'll have to see how tomorrow plays out. But I'm going a little bit higher than you and saying 40%.
Okay. So if I'm at 20-ish percent, and that's, again, me thinking that maybe Keyshawn Gilbert's not in the game.
Right.
Maybe Curtis Jones is in the game. Maybe both of them are sitting out like they have been, and not surprising, Iowa State has struggled. I know that Momcilovic sat out a lot of the season. He is back and playing, but he's not quite himself. When they are at full power, they are legitimately a team that could make a run to the Elite Eight of the Final Four.
And that is an arena and a venue that is so hard to play.
Yes, the venue alone for me gives Iowa State a 70% chance, regardless of who my guy T.J. Otzelberger throws out on the floor.
Yes.
Schmediums for the win, T.J. Let's
go. Did you see what Oklahoma State did with their signs or the towels or whatever it was?
Indeed, I did.
Yeah, very
Indeed,
nice.
I did. So did Sean Farnham.
Yes.
That's why Sean brought it to light and then threw me under the bus with it. You know?
Okay.
That's what we do. Okay, I'll give you this. Your 40%, because BYU in the Big 12 is number one in field goal percentage, number one in two-point field goal percentage, number one in effective field goal percentage, number one in three-point field goals made, and then second and third at a bunch of other prominent categories, That, therein lies why BYU fans should hope.
Yes.
And think that BYU could legitimately go into Ames and win that game and take the 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament and earn a double bye. Incredible.
Well, look, and if Arizona, if BYU wins tonight or wins tomorrow, and then you've got Iowa State that loses, then BYU's in sole possession of that.
Yes.
So, you know, the standings part of this, I'm so anxious to see what happens between Arizona and Iowa State before BYU goes to Ames.
It's seven-layer dip, people. There are several delicious layers to this. Aren't there? Again, I'm talking about food. Yesterday, Jeremy asked me, are you hungry? I'm always hungry when this show starts.
Get some food in here. Go get some food.
Food table. Speaking of food, hey, we've got a delicious question on the way with something that happened yesterday in the world of college football. Our question of the day first, however, what are the chances BYU wins the final three games of the regular season? At Taylor90 on X answers, beat West Virginia and Utah, and I'll be happy. Okay, so just not addressing the actual question. Like, just win the home games. I don't care about winning the final three. Just win those two, and I'll be happy. GS Garrick on Instagram says, pretty good chances. BYU knows they need all three to be top four in the Big 12 tournament. Most likely. It's not a, like, you have to beat Iowa State, technically speaking or mathematically speaking, because the Cyclones could lose enough games and BYU could still win two or three and be above them in the standings. But it feels like you have to win the game in Ames if you're going to be a top four seed.
That it feels that way.
All right. Speaking of that delicious topic, Jason, serve it up, my friend. Football, here we go.
First win total projections for Big 12 teams. It was released yesterday by BetOnline, and BYU football's win total was set 7.5.
What?
7.5.
What?
What do you make of this projection of BYU, the win total being set at 7.5?
I'm a little confused because a few weeks ago, I saw some initial lines start to come out showing BYU 9.5. One place said BYU's gonna win 10 games. And then I see this, BYU 7.5. All this tells me, Jason, is nobody knows what in the world to do with BYU. And frankly, nobody has any idea what to do with the Big 12 in large.
That's what surprised me more than anything else. Yes, I was surprised that that was where they landed with BYU. But then I'm looking up and down the entire totals that they have for this conference, and they don't know what to do.
8.5.
Or that they have zero respect for what type of team is in the Big 12. I mean, the most is 8.5. Like you said, Arizona State, Kansas State, and Texas Tech.
That's the high.
To me, quite frankly, to me, that's where you start with a lot of the teams that they have at 7.5.
Okay. See, I would push BYU to 8.5.
I would, too.
Someone said, how many games do you think BYU will win? Which way do you think it would roll? I'd be like, I can see a path to 8. I can see a path to 9. You know, if the ball bounces like it did last year in BYU's favor and they make some huge plays late in games like they did last year, then, yeah, they could win 10 again. But I would set BYU's over-under at 8.5 and put them right there with Arizona State, Kansas State, and Texas Tech. Frankly, I would throw Baylor, to your point, and Iowa State right up there. And some people said, what, Utah 7.5, same as BYU? Yes, that is an accurate number for Utah. Guess what? They're not going to be down long. They'll be back. They'll be good. Their defense will be sound again, and they got our guy Jason back. And that offense could not be any worse than it was last year in Salt Lake City. So I agree with that number, but I would just BYU, Baylor, Iowa State, you might as well throw those teams up there with ASU, Kansas State, and Texas Tech and say, hey, there's six teams that could all win 8.5. That's the beauty of the Big 12, though, isn't it?
Right.
We have no idea. Last year, the team picked to finish last in the conference literally won the conference and almost beat Texas in the college football playoff. Probably should have, barring some weird calls. Then BYU was picked to finish 13th, Colorado 11th, Iowa State 6th. Those were your top four.
Yeah.
What kind of carnage are we going to see this year?
See, for me, I think BYU, for this upcoming season, I think the floor is 8.
The floor?
Yeah, I see them winning at least 8 games. And I'm with you. Then can it be pushed to 9? Can it be pushed to 10?
Okay.
But I think this team is absolutely capable of winning at least 8 games next year. Okay. Just from the production that returns. you look at all, and we're going to get into this when we talk a little bit more about spring football, but so much of spring over the last couple of years has been implementation of things. You don't need to implement anything this year. You have all these guys that are back.
Yeah.
And you have so much production that returns on both sides of the ball, certainly on offense. And so the fact that you can sort of hit the ground running and worry about working on your craft as opposed to trying to implement and make sure everybody's on the same page, all these guys have played with each other and in this scheme and in this system for over a year now.
They've been around for a long time.
And they've played
most of them have been 2 years.
And they've played at a high level, and they saw what happens last year when they do that. So, yeah, I think this team is easily at 8 wins, and I'm with you. I'd started at 8.5, so I think they're off by a game.
The key for BYU here, and I was talking with our producer Colton Potter the other day, if they want to win 8 or more, is to start the season 5-1. I believe the schedule is favorable for BYU in the front half, the first 6. Favorable. Not easy, just favorable. But there's a real road for BYU to go 5-1 in the first 6. If they do that, I believe they will win 9 regular season games again and then have a shot at getting into double figures wins in the bowl game, depending on how the Big 12 shakes out. I don't know. This kind of feels like a scenario where we're gonna end up like last year, and we're going to have a logjam at the top. There's going to be a weird tiebreak scenario going in the last few weeks of the season where it's like, holy cow, the rootables are loaded. Like, what's BYU's path to the championship? They need this team to lose, and they need to beat, you know, this team, and this team needs to lose to this team. I think we're going to see an almost exactly similar situation to last year where it will come down to the final week, and there will be a tiebreak involved about who's playing in the Big 12 championship.
How crazy is it that 1 year later, a year ago this time, we were like, is this team going to be bowl eligible?
4.5 wins. Remember that? 4.5 wins.
And now I'm like, the floor is 8. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally different a year later.
I should have worn my 4.5 wins t-shirt today. Dang it. I wasn't thinking straight.
All right, number 25, BYU men's basketball hosting West Virginia tomorrow night as the Cougars look to win their 6th straight game. Pre-game coverage begins at 9 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
We've said it a few times, BYU football is back, at least in spring football. Kalani Sitake and his crew held practice number 1 yesterday. We react to the best sound bites, and we're going to overreact to the best plays. Oh, Jason, get your hot takes ready. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is one of the greatest BYU teams ever.
Good to see the guys out there playing ball again.
This year we have such a solid foundation.
We're really trying to focus on not being complacent.
From day one, I like the talent on the team and the potential.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. We were just educated on how to respond to good tea, Jason. Okay.
And what were we informed?
That tea is hot. If the tea that you spill is good, okay?
Okay. Nothing like two dudes in their 40s talking about stuff like this.
Oh, the tea was hot from BYU spring practice yesterday. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke about how he feels in regard to BYU's talent and potential on the roster right now, on late February 28th.
From day one, I like the talent on the team and the potential, but that's all it is right now is potential. We got to keep putting in the work. I thought today the effort was awesome, so as long as we keep the effort going, I think we'll be in a really good spot.
How much can you read into day one of spring practice and that all that buzzword potential?
Well, look, I mean, I think it may go back a little bit to what I was talking about in terms of the production returning. It, you know, I understand you're going to be a little rusty anyway when you haven't had games and things like that, you know, for a couple of months. But, you know, if you're a coach and you're watching and you know what this team looked like when they were humming during the season, and then they come out and they kind of pick up right where they left off, and you know, you have some of the same chemistry. I think that bodes well for the production being able to replicate itself.
Yes.
You know, normally you would say you don't learn anything from day one. I mean, we're still taught it's day one of 15 practices, and then you've got months then where you won't be together. So there's just so many different things that you're trying to read into something at the end of February.
Yeah. We know that the core is back.
Yeah.
The chemistry is there. The understanding. BYU has so many key parts back, but I love that Kalani said, all it is right now is potential. You know, if we're talking about energy in science class, the rubber band is being pulled back right now, and it will continue to be pulled back until it is released on August 30th, I think, against Portland State. And then we see what type of momentum and how far that team has been able to gel and then pull said rubber band back. And then what kind of force are we going to see exerted on August 30th? And will it be unimpeded? And by that, I mean, like, how will injuries factor in? Because the thing that we haven't talked a lot about is how relatively healthy right. BYU was for much of last season.
Which was a nice change.
It was awesome. The strength and conditioning staff was probably mentioned more last year in that one individual season than they were collectively in the last decade.
Right.
And hats off to them. Tip of the cap to them. They were so good. But I like that Kalani said potential, because he's right. That's all it is. And if I'm trying to motivate my team, Jason, I'm talking about how difficult it is to repeat something like BYU did. No one thinks you can do it again.
Now you're on everybody's radar.
Nobody thinks you can do it again.
Yep.
They think you're going to stumble, you're going to trip up, you're going to be middle of the pack, because you can't do what you did last season. That's where I would start motivating this team. BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff does not shy away from how confident he is, and he compared where BYU is as a team at practice number one this year to where BYU was as an ultra-motivated team last year coming off a five-win season.
Oh, man, I feel like we're miles ahead. The strength staff got after us this offseason, but at the same time, like, we kept that standard up. We didn't have to start from scratch. Last year, I felt like we were starting from scratch. We were building the program up, right? This year, we have such a solid foundation built by the seniors from last year, built by the core guys coming back. So many veterans coming back on both sides of the ball. We're moving faster. I mean, we got done early today, according to the clock, which never happens in a football practice ever. So that's pretty impressive.
Miles ahead. What do you read into that comment of Jake saying that they are miles ahead of where they were last year on this day?
Well, I keep belaboring this point. He knows what the offense felt like last year, and it took him a while to ramp up to that throughout the offseason.
And then the physical state of the team in general.
And he sees that it's there. He sees that it's there already. And the fact that they aren't going to be starting from scratch, like he said, that this is a team that can maybe start, maybe add a couple little wrinkles to things. You don't have to wait and worrying about implementation with new guys. And you have a few new guys, because you're always going to have new guys on a roster. But this is something where you can go in and have a really good idea of what type of production is possible with this offense. It's got to be a really confidence-building type feeling to know, okay, this is what we know we did last year. We think we may be better this year. We got most everybody back. Why can't we be better? That's got to feel great if you're on that offense. Mm.
And on cue, Jake mentioned the strength and conditioning of this BYU football team. So, yes, as far as understanding, confidence, and strength and conditioning, miles ahead. Now, will Jake Retzlaff have his full arsenal of receivers back? They are super deep and experienced in the wide receivers room. Even if Darius Lassiter doesn't come back, BYU is continuing to hold out hope that he will be granted an additional season and he can return because of the JUCO exception that has recently come into play in the world of NCAA sports. But if Lassiter can't, Retzlaff talked about the guys who are standing out to potentially replace Darius's production.
Keelan Marion is a stud. You've seen him play. Parker Kingston, I think today in team, he had like four plays in a row where he got the ball and got like 8 yards a pop. And we were joking that he had like, you know, 120 yards in team today. So he balled out. You know, JoJo Phillips, that deep ball threat, that guy's a stud. But like Keelan, like, he's never covered. I mean, we had a conversation today on the field about a rep where he looked covered and one of our DBs played great technique and was inside of him and everything, and we threw the ball and he made the catch. And like, just because like he's never covered. So watching those three have this opportunity to grow now, they're going to get a lot of reps with the ones, a lot of great plays, and I'm excited to watch those guys like step into their own.
Jason, we always talk about when fall camp starts, the looks the part guy,
right?
Like the guy who shows up like, oh man, that dude is jacked. He worked really hard during the offseason. Keelan Marion right now is that guy. He's on February 28th. He's already the guy that looks the part, has been putting in the work in the weight room day in and day out, and has been developing and progressing in speed, performance overall. Keelan is set for a breakout year, no question. Even if Darius comes back, right. I expect more outstanding stuff from an All-American special teams player as well in Marion.
Well, the other part about this is, and there's a natural progression as you're in athletics, and the longer you play from 1 year to the next, you know, you get a little bit of a taste and you start to have some success, and then that builds confidence for you, and then you go into the next year and you've got all of that experience behind you and you're able to take the next step. And I think this is a natural evolution that we're seeing, and I think it's also something we saw, you know, there were a lot of guys that were able, from the receiver standpoint, a lot of guys that got reps. There were a lot of guys that got catches. That will bode well because now some of them may be relied on a little bit more depending on what happens with Darius Lassiter. We all are certainly hoping you add him to the mix and then it's like game on. But the fact that you've got all these guys that saw action last year, know what it takes, and now have an opportunity to take a bigger step and be a little bit more a part of the offense on a grander scale, I love that.
All four of the guys we just threw up on the screen on BYU TV, Chase Roberts, Keelan Marion, JoJo Phillips, Parker Kingston, made multiple huge, meaningful, impactful plays for BYU last year. And they're all back, even if Lassiter is gone. And I mentioned Cody Hagen's name yesterday. I remain really excited about what he could potentially be. I feel like he is a Gunnar Romney type. And, I mean, that type of receiver, right. Really fast, great hands, good catch radius. He's a guy that will take advantage of some additional opportunities as he gets more and more comfortable in this offense as well, and certainly as he stays healthy. Okay, it's time to look at a few of the catches and plays you were referencing yesterday, Jason, and just straight up overreact to this.
We would never do that.
We would never
overreact to anything, positive or negative.
Synchronized blue goggles, everyone. Here is number one, Jake Retzlaff. To one of the new guys, Carson Ryan, the tight end, Jason. What do you think?
I think Carson Ryan will have some of the best numbers we've seen from a tight end since Isaac Rex's freshman season.
Okay, I was just going to go with the general blanket statement of the tight ends are back. They're back.
I took it a little step further. Honestly, I really have high expectations for Carson Ryan. I think he can be a massive addition to the offense.
Good to have that guy home, if you will.
Yes.
Local Utah Valley guy who was playing for BYU in that grad transfer role. Okay.
Okay, the next one. Jake Retzlaff once again. Look at this. Throwing into the tight window.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Look at that.
It's gorgeous.
To Keelan Marion. What's your overreaction?
Keelan Marion will be a first-team All-American receiver.
Just adding to the list.
Okay, that's too much. It's too much. But I do think that Keelan, along with being an exceptional special teams player, can be an all-conference receiver. If, and I know that I don't necessarily like this, if he has to step up and play more because of Darius Lassiter potentially not being back. Like, if there's less talent to spread the ball around to, I believe that Keelan will step up and fill any void there, and he will take advantage, and he'll be an all-conference receiver. Overreaction!
And you know he would welcome that type of added pressure, if
he
you will, put on his
shoulders. All of the
smoke. 100%. All right, your last one.
Final play. What's BYU going to do in the secondary? They lost Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins. Oh, no! It's going to be terrible. Jonathan Cabea would like a word, Jason. Interception. Beautiful play right there by Jonathan Cabea.
My overreaction, that is a little taste of what you'll see with multiple pick six the upcoming season.
Okay. You want the hot take? BYU has no drop-off at the cornerback position this year. No drop-off, even though they lose outstanding players in Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins. No drop-off. Jonathan Cabea, Mo Bamba, Evan Johnson, they're ready, Jason.
Okay, I like it. BYU women's basketball traveling to Salt Lake City to play Utah in the regular season finale. You can watch tomorrow on ESPN Plus or listen with yours truly on BYU Radio beginning at 3:30 Eastern Time.
Time for an NFL Combine report as it pertains to Tyler Batty. How did he stack up to the other defensive linemen in Indianapolis? And updates from multiple Big 12 championships. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jason Shepherd. It is time for your Friday headlines.
Number 25, BYU men's basketball hosts West Virginia tomorrow night as the Cougars look to extend their win streak to 6 games. BYU won the first meeting played in Morgantown, 73-69. BYU's first win in this current 5-game winning streak. Pre-game coverage begins tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And in ESPN's Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology update, he has BYU as an 8 seed playing, hey, here it is again, 9 seed Utah State in the first round.
Oh, we talked about it earlier this week, Jason. What a matchup that would be. But you know what? BYU ain't stopping on the 8-9 line. They're a 7-seed or better. BYU football held spring practice number 1. If you missed that conversation about the top plays and top headlines and sound bites earlier in the show, then you should download the podcast and listen to all of it. Practice number 1 of 15. First win total projections for the Big 12 Conference published by Bet Online yesterday. BYU's initial win total for 2025 set at 7.5. Disrespect the Cougars, please. Could you go ahead and just bump it down to 6.5. Motivate them all you can.
Hogwash. BYU defensive end Tyler Batty participated in the NFL Combine yesterday in Indianapolis with measurements on the feet and on the field testing. Here were his numbers on the field testing. 4.78 40, 1.69 10-yard dash, or 10-yard split, 34-inch vertical, and a 10-foot broad jump.
Nice, nice. Good numbers. Good, just solid day for Tyler overall. BYU women's basketball hits the road for their regular season finale rivalry game tomorrow night at Utah. The Cougars look to clinch the 12 seed in the Big 12 tournament with a victory. You can watch on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio beginning at 3:30 Eastern tomorrow. Jason, remind me, you gonna be there?
I will be there.
Oh yeah, you will.
I will be at the Huntsman Center. Baseball, how about this score? Beat Gonzaga 10-2 in game 1 of the 3-game series in Spokane. Starting pitcher Peyton Gubler went 7 innings, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits and earning the victory. Ryder Robinson led the offense with a home run and 3 runs batted in.
They're hitting so many home runs.
They are. They are enjoying the long ball right now. Game 2 tonight, 6 Eastern on both ESPN Plus and on BYU Radio with Dave McCann.
Listen, just speaking of the long ball, just Google Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine, okay, in regard to that, and enjoy one of the greatest Nike commercials ever made.
One of the great campaigns for a commercial.
With Heather Locklear.
Yeah. Going way back.
BYU softball beat Sacramento State 9-4. The women improved to 10-4 on the season. Lindy Milkowski hit her 3rd home run of the season in that victory. BYU back in action today at the Libby Mattson Tournament in Stockton, California. They play UC Davis and San Jose State in a doubleheader this afternoon. Good luck.
Indoor track and field is at the Big 12 Championships in Lubbock. The BYU women's team currently ranked number 2 in the country, while the men's team is ranked just outside the top 25. Competition beginning today goes through tomorrow.
Number 2 in the country, Jason. I feel like that's like hiding under all of these amazing, like that is amazing in and of itself.
Oh, by the way, they're number 2.
Yeah. Yesterday marked day 3 of the Swim and Dive Big 12 Championships. Tanner Nelson earned first team all Big 12 honors with a 4th place finish in the 400 individual medley. Jordan Tiffany and Luigi Riva also earned second team all Big 12 honors in the 100 fly. And on the women's side, Addison Richards earned first team all Big 12 and Lucy Warnick second team all Big 12 nod in the 400 individual medley. Alexia Jackson Hansen, first team all Big 12 in the 3-meter dive. Competition continues today and wraps up tomorrow.
Gymnastics hosts Arizona State tonight on senior night at the Marriott Center. BYU looking to build off last week's season high of 195.9.
They're chasing down the 196.
We'll be joined by Eliza Millar-Crossman and Heidi Schooley-Myers in the next segment. I can see them right over there.
And BYU women's tennis drops their Big 12 opener at Arizona yesterday. They'll look to bounce back tomorrow at Arizona State. They had won 9 straight matches before that. The men's team has 2 home matches this weekend, beginning today against Denver before a match against Air Force tomorrow. That is a wealth of headlines during a very busy time of the year. As promised, Eliza Millar-Crossman and Heidi Schooley-Myers of BYU Gymnastics preview senior night against the Sun Devils. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We
We are live in Studio B, and joining us now to preview senior night for BYU Gymnastics are two of these outstanding BYU gymnasts, the Gym Cats, if you will. Heidi Schooley-Myers and Eliza Millar-Crossman with us here. Welcome. Great to have you on the show today.
Thanks. Thank We're you. So excited to be here.
Okay. Typically, we because it's senior night, we just need to start with the whole emotions of the event. Okay. So how are you feeling about this being the finale? Eliza, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. It's super bittersweet. Like, even in practice, every time it comes up, we all get a little teary-eyed. My coach, Natalie, is like, oh, no, like, this is kind of it. But the season's not over yet. But obviously, some of the senior emotions come out early when we're in the Marriott Center for the last time. So,
Heidi, how is it for you?
Definitely the same. Like, bittersweet. Like, competing at the Marriott Center is the greatest thing. It's my favorite thing ever. But luckily, like, we still have a few meets, and we have a few meets that are close because Big 12 Championships is at the Maverick Center.
Right up the road in Salt Lake City.
Regionals could also be here, too. So we're super excited for
this. This question will be for both of you guys again. But when you look back on your BYU careers, what will you remember?
Oh, man, there's so much to be grateful for.
It's a loaded question.
Yes, very. I feel like we've both been super lucky with our health, right? Because, you know, athletics is really hard on your body. But I've been super lucky that all 4 years that I've been here, I've been able to compete, which has been so amazing. Like, starting from my freshman year, that first meet, all the way until my senior year, my body has held together.
Oh, man.
So, like, it's hard sometimes to remember each individual routine. But just that whole experience of being able to do each season start to finish and growing through each season, I think that's something that I will not take for granted.
What about you, Heidi?
I'm just going to remember, like, my team. Having my team there for me every single meet, every single day, like, you're not going to have that when you're done with gymnastics. I'm not going to have 30 girls with me cheering my name. Like, I don't know. That's something super special that, like, I've kind of taken for granted, but especially this season, I'm like, wow, like, I love these girls so much. So, yeah.
Eliza, you burst onto the scene as a freshman. In fact, we had you on BYU Sports Nation early on in your career as a beam specialist.
Yes.
You've become a floor specialist along with that. Mm-hmm. So how has your career and ability to hit in multiple events come to fruition here?
Yeah, I feel like it was just one step at a time there. I definitely got recruited as a beam specialist, like that. They thought that was going to be my thing. But I always knew I had some floor in me, and I love to perform. I think floor is so fun. Heidi over here, she can do it too.
She's the floor specialist. We'll get to that in a moment.
She's so good, right? But I feel like having both of beam and floor kind of balance each other out. Like, they're both kind of leg events, but I feel like beam, I can kind of like breathe, smile, take deep breaths, and then floor, I just get to put all the energy out there. And so I feel like every year, thanks to my coaches, Brogan and Natalie, they've really helped me blossom into a beam and a floor specialist. So thanks to them.
Yeah. So Heidi, what do you like most about floor?
Everything. I love, like, just being able to perform. I love tumbling. I've always loved floor in general. So.
Okay, you have an outstanding music selection, Heidi. Okay, and that whole selection process is fun. So how did you notify the people that don't know what music you chose and why you chose it?
So this year I chose like some kind of disco-y music. So what kind of inspired this? Brogan actually brought this up a few years ago. He was like, I think you should do like a disco themed routine.
Your coach, Brogan Evanson.
Yes. And so I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll think on that. I didn't do it last year, but I did it this year. And then one of my songs, I'm using Boogie Wonderland. And I actually used that song at my wedding. I did a dance with my dad. And so like,
Boogie Wonderland?
Yes.
That's quite the first dance at your wedding.
Yeah, well, don't worry. We did like a little slow dance and then like did a little crazy dance. It was fun.
Love it.
But incorporated some of those moves into my floor routine this year. So, yeah.
And then your whole team's doing the entire routine with you on the side.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
Well, we see it every day, so. You guys only get blessed once a week, but
you can do them all of them.
Yes. Everyone.
By memory.
Oh,
yeah. Probably.
Okay. And then Eliza, your music selection, how did you settle on what you chose?
Yeah, so mine's, I kind of chose some like trumpet, saxophone, brass, like kind of more of an instrument inspiration. Like I found a playlist on Spotify that was just like songs with trumpets that slap or whatever. Going through those. Yeah, literally. So thanks to Spotify. But I was going through those and I was like, whoa, like I'm kind of bumping right now. So that's kind of how that music choice came to be. But my my most favorite song that I use is Careless Whisper. And every time I get to that part in my routine,
there we go.
I get
there. There we go.
And I kind of slow dance. My mom did ballroom when she was younger, so she taught me how to do the steps. And I slow dance and I go through the motions. And every time that song comes on in the mirror, I hear everyone go, oh. Because it's kind of a joke, right? But like they get it, right? They're with me. And so I feel like the first time I competed that in the Marriott, that was just like, I literally felt like I was like, I'm a star, I'm a performer. Like, this is so fun. So.
See, you don't need to sell us on Careless Whisper. What you don't know is this show has a history
with
that song specifically.
With that song.
So, yes. So we are big, big fans.
Let's go.
Okay, I want to stay with the music thing because I'm fascinated by this. So talk to me about why the music, because obviously we know how important the routine is, but how important is it to match the what comes first? Does the music come first and then the routine is based off of the music or vice versa?
Usually you'll pick your music out first and you'll work with Brogan and like we have a sound guy who'll put our music together and then we'll be like, okay, we'll work on our choreography. This is how we want it to look, how we want it to feel when we're performing. So, yeah.
Really fun. Boogie Wonderland, Careless Whisper.
It's a great pair.
Yes.
Those two go together, right?
Obviously.
Trumpets and saxophones that slap. Eliza Millar Crossman and Heidi Schooley Myers are on BYU Sports Nation. A lot of people aren't aware, but in the world of college gymnastics, scoring has become much more intricate, and it's just become more harsh this season. You look at the numbers last year compared to what they are this year, it is tougher to score. They're not just giving away 995s like they used to. You have to earn it. Mm-hmm. So you're still searching for that 196. How have you two and the team adjusted to the tougher scoring in gymnastics?
Yeah, it's definitely hard because I feel like in gymnastics, it's so easy to pick yourself apart, right? Like we don't get, half the time it kind of feels like you're not going up for the 10, you're coming down from a 10, right? But I feel like that always comes back to going back to practice and just finding the positives. My coach guard loves to say, like, what did you do well? And so I feel like every time we can focus on what we did well and then just find that one thing that we want to adjust for the next time, that one thing will give us that 10th back. And like you saw, we were really only like a 10th away from that 196. And so you could get that from any routine. And I can only control myself, so hopefully me or Heidi can give the team that extra 10th tonight. But if everyone brings that extra 10th or that half, I think we're totally going to do it.
Heidi, how do you feel about the adjusted scoring and judging?
It's interesting to watch because it's like, it kind of depends what school you're from. It's like, it's still just a changing thing, but I'm hoping that these judges can kind of settle down into like a, I don't know, equilibrium almost. Like, we can figure out
okay
what we need to do. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm going to put out a grading scale so those that are not familiar with gymnastics can watch tonight's meet and kind of understand when I say you're shooting for a 196, what that would be in the grade scale. And I have, based on the scores this year, I'd say like if you get a 197 plus, that's firmly an A. Anything above that's like an A plus, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. 196.5 maybe like A minus area. Mm-hmm. And then like a 196 is a really, really tough, good B plus. Yes?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In a difficult institution. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Okay, so you've been floating around like the B area for much of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your average score, your national qualifying score. What would it mean to hit 196 on senior night at the Marriott Center?
Oh, that would be everything. I think that would be so fun because that goal has come up a couple times and we've come short of it a little bit, but that hasn't stopped us from just getting back to practice and really trying to push there. And if you see kind of in the national rankings, a 196 is quite a few places higher, right? Like,
yes.
Like all those teams are really close together.
It's so the top 25 score.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. And for the record, BYU number 31 right now. To your credit, you've been building.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go out and perform well tonight.
Let's go.
Good luck. 196. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
so
guys.
Thank you.
All right, Boogie Wonderland, Jason. You ready?
You don't need to ask if I'm ready.
Hey, we'll put a bow on the show today on a fantastic Friday show with more responses to our question of the day. And Jason's going to go stream Careless Whisper during the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
It's already in my phone.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues on this wonderful Friday with our question of the day. What are the chances BYU men's basketball wins the final three games of the regular season? Our good friend Cougar Stats chimes in with the exact probability. Hey, I wasn't that far off. 18%, he says. 64.5% chance to sweep BYU's last two home games, but 18% chance to win all three with all of the probability in play.
Yeah, we'll enjoy being correct. I'll just be more blue goggled. How about that? Okay?
Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. You read the Elite Voice.
Thank you very much. This one from Elko Cougar on X. Never tell me the odds. The Star Wars reference. This team is special and is hooping right now, so I like their chances to finish 3-0 and keep the win streak going.
Today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, goes to our friend Seth Killingbeck, who was elected or named the president-elect for the BYU Alumni Association.
Congratulations,
Seth.
Yes.
Thanks to today's guests, Eliza Millar-Crossman and Heidi Schooley-Myers. For Jason, I am Spencer, and a final shout-out to Mikkel Merkley. We'll see you tonight for gymnastics. Go Cougs!